Father, I thank you for what you've already done and what you're doing. Help me to be like an oven mitten today to serve something hot and ready that's from your heart. It's not something I'm pushed down anybody's throat, Father God, not to theatrics you up, just to bring sincere, authentic heart of God this morning. And I pray, Father, that each one of us would walk away a little different today just because of who you are. And the church said amen. Red Letters, Season 5, Episode 5, the finale, a.k.a. Resurrection Sunday. Us all who believe, and you know what I'm talking about, say, I am the church.
I am the church.
All right, so us reflecting on the most amazing day in history is interesting, but I have to warn you, I have a lot of context today. You know, I've got bonus tracks. Remember I talked about old, I used to love get an album like, oh, there's a bonus track. You know, you get a, now you look at what's an album, vinyl, kids. Look it up. Just saying, look it up. Look it up. Also, not to sound too corny, but I'm going to do something in a second that Dr. Heidi can't edit or undo, and that makes her nervous. Yeah, you don't know the stuff that doesn't go on the internet because she's like, Pastor Sean, I think we'll take that right out. You know, that's just smart, it's wise. He desires a wife, it's a good thing. But last week, we remember Jesus rode in to town in authority and pageantry and full on, right? Like last night, I was watching the quinceañera. I was like, yeah, they're getting it. You know, this. I feel like there's a royal wedding. You know, I felt like this is what it was like to be a Princess Di's gig. I get that. You know, I was in. And I started thinking about Jesus, you know, today, how he came in. And the people were stoked. And I almost thought I could hear theme music, Hallie. And since I've been fasting secular music, I still had to use, you know. So I was thinking theme music. And so forgive me. If you're new people, forgive me. Just wave at me. So we will, we think. Just forgive me. Don't worry about it. Denise, you'll be fine. Yeah, you'll be fine. People who might not know Jesus, just humor me for a second, you know. Young people, you don't know this song. Don't judge me, Andrew. Yeah, but if you're old and you found Christ maybe in the late 80s, give me a whoop. Whoop! All right, then you'll be with me on this. Thank you. I kind of discerned I'd have some help, Lord, this morning. But I could see Jesus riding in, and I just want to put a little theme music because this is how he came into town in my head. You're going to hear a lot of things in my head today. I don't know if I should let them out, but this is what I heard in my head. And I had to filter out a few things, so go give me a little theme music, baby, as Jesus is riding in town if you have it. Yeah, it's going to be a... You could, you know me, I like it loud, so you're okay. Yeah. You can get stoked. They've been waiting for centuries for the Messiah, right? They're stoked. I got an air guitar. Yeah, it's an Italian version. Forget about it. This is, they're going to start kicking. They're all gathering. As he's coming in on the donkey, they're gathering in, right? He's coming to the city gate. And as soon as they see him, they're going to lose their crap. Go edit that. First time. You can see them, right? Just getting crazy. Palm branches, they're chucking them on the ground. They're taking the jackets off and chucking them down, right? They're just like, yeah, right, Jan? All in. Sanguine paradise. All right, take me down. Take me down. I can't. I'm already, I got quinceañera in me already. You can't get me kicking right now. You just can't. But you know the crazy thing about it? About 8 minutes later, maybe a little, but about 8 minutes later, most of those same folks are shouting, crucify him. Like, what? Mighty one of Israel, we saw your miracles. You're the man, you it. We've been waiting forever. Yeah, woo, the king is here. Crucify him. Right? That changed the party favor, didn't it, right there? Sometimes when I read stuff like that, and I did that last week, I get torqued by that stuff. Ever read stuff in the Bible and it kind of ticks you off? Come on. Who hasn't wanted to, like, just Judas one time in the throat? Anybody? Oh, good. That's my people. Right? Well, you do. You read it and go, okay. Or I relate to Peter. Oh, I would have whacked his ear off. Let's take him down, Lord. The kingdom is here, you know? But if you relate to one part of Peter, you got to relate to the rest of them too. Right? So I solemnly say to you today that I have to admit something. Jesus' beatings and his death is partially my fault. But hey, it's your fault too. Right? It's our faults. That's our faults. I can't get mad at anybody else if it's my fault. Did it for me. But you know, I don't know if you ever blame shift. No, not here and not anybody else. Jesus is paying the price for redeeming mankind, right? His body was crucified, and that was done physically brutally, right? But the most brutal thing was bearing the sin of the world. That's why it was so brutal. It's like, okay, want to get a word picture? This is what it would look like. Can you say this with me? Thank you. And I love him for that, right? I love him for that. A quick recap. Jesus was beaten, killed, and placed in a tomb. That's where we got left off. You know, we didn't leave out of here real happy last week. Yay! Great message, Pastor. Twas a big swing for the disciples, too, no doubt. Imagine them, right? They went from elation, like, we were the king, like, we're his 12 guys, we're rolling deep. My boy's in the hood, we're going to the palace, he's healing the sick, raising the dead. Oh, the 12 are here! Right? They're just elated. We know the guy. We travel with him, it's no big deal. You know, I walked on water for a second, you know? Mm-hmm. They went from elation to devastation. If we recall, Jesus had taught that his death was not final. He taught us that. And it's easy from this end of history to be judging them. But put yourself in them today. Okay, just try to get into character today, you know. Some of y'all characters get into character. His death wasn't final. He had a few more things to do, right? He had some power to pass out. Right. It's good news. That's the gospel, actually. Death, burial, resurrection, passing out the power. His death wasn't final, so ours doesn't have to be either. That's what he was talking about, right? So, in the meantime, there's a crazy word I want to talk about for just a second. He says something this. He says, you must be born again. Say born again. Now, that still sounds weird to me. Like it did. When I first came, I came out of hardcore, like, Irish, Italian, Catholic upbringing. All my life, every school I went to was private school that reinforced that. Okay, so when I heard this word born again, I went, that's weird. That sounds weird to me, you know. And we'll get back to that in a second, but it's very important that we know these things that Jesus said during Holy Week, right? So the Bible, if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn, you can tap, you can sit next to Bob. But we're going to start back a little. I'm going to rewind just a smidgen. John 3:3-5. Jesus answered him. Say, Jesus said. Jesus answered him. I assure you, which means I'm telling you the truth, and I'm solemnly saying to you, Jesus was pointing out something that needed attention. Right? You draw your kid aside. Say, hey, you're not paying attention. Yes, I am. No, you're not paying attention. Right? Jesus said, unless a person is born again. Jesus said, unless a person is born again from above, he cannot ever see and experience the kingdom of God. You cannot ever see or experience the kingdom of God. Jesus says you must be born again. Born again to me, honestly, used to have this symbol in my head. I used to hear it from different places, but it had the symbol of these holy rollers. You know, I mean, from 70s. They're born again. Why? They're acting weird, and they're dressing weird, and they're shouting weird, and they're twirling flags and stuff. You know, born again used to mean that to me. That is until I truly encounter Jesus for myself, right? Born again establishes us, really, living a new direct, a new purpose. Life's not about me anymore. I got a God that I serve. I was living for one guy, decided to die to that guy and live for a different guy, right? New life. It says, and the scripture continued, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? I was like, excellent question, Nicodemus. Glad you asked, and I would not have been the guy to ask the question. You know, I'll be sitting around like, oh, I understand Jesus. Like, no, you don't. Nicodemus will ask you, though. Thank you, Nicodemus. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again? He cannot enter a mother's womb a second time and be born, can he? Say, ick. That's weird, Nicodemus. I wouldn't even come up with that. Just let Jesus talk, you know? Come up with your theories. Jesus answered, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, I'm being serious. I'm solemnly saying something. I'm going to repeat myself. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Say, born again. Now, that's no small truth. Right? Let's go to John 16, 1 through 4. We'll carry on for just a second. Jesus, I have told you these things so that you will not stumble. Ever get a warning from somebody and you're like, yeah, I got it. And then you didn't really have it. No, I'm cool. I got it. I know. I hear you, Mom. I hear you. Go 55. I know. I won't get a ticket. I've never have. I've been driving for 2 weeks. Come on. Yeah, my first 2 weeks in having a car, I had the window down, my arm out, and someone new from school, Andrew, you know, she is pretty, okay, you know, and I was like, hey, oh no, I meant to hit that pole, you know, I meant to. It's a parking pole, right? You park into it, get out of here, you know. I've told you these things so that you will not stumble or be caught off guard and fall away. Jesus is saying, stay with me or you'll stray from me. Stay with me or you'll stray from me. Anybody, if you have courage, you don't have to raise your hand. Ever were with him for a while and then you started, stop following him and what he was doing, you started doing you. And before you knew it, you were like way over where you didn't want to be and you strayed. Ah, boy, Harold, hey, with your hand in your hair, like you just don't care, right? Go ahead. That's a lot of us. Jesus says, stay with me or you'll stray from me. Jesus also is trying to inform them about some issues they may face. Right? He says this, they will put you out of the synagogues. Now, that sounds to us like, oh, okay, I kicked you out of church. There's another one. No, there's not. Not for these folks. Not only is it their church, it's their center way of life, finances, and family relationships for generations. He says, they will put you out of the synagogues. So put you out of your religion, your family, your social world. You right? Do you realize that could be affected when you start following Jesus for the first time? I don't know if you guys realize that some of those things in your life, they could be really affected. If you go from living one way and you start trying to serve God, anybody else have any effects in those areas? Holy cow, it made sense to me, you know? So they'll put you out of the synagogues and they'll make you outcasts. Man, remember those days. And then he said, a time is coming. Jesus said, a time is coming. Not say may come. Say, you know, there's a 50% odds. Put a 20 on that. We'll see what happens. No. A time is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known me or the Father. And unfortunately, most of them were martyred. You read about church history, most of them were martyred. And there's some martyrs still happening today. There's a magazine, there's a website, there's a Voice of the Martyr. Why does it exist? Because there are people in difficult countries that are trying to live and present Jesus that are still being executed. Jesus is telling them, hey, they will. He says, I've told you these things so that when their time comes, you'll remember I told you about them. I did not say these things to you at the beginning because I was with you. Basically, hey, I'm with you now, but I'm leaving soon. You don't get that, but I'm trying to download before I leave. Ever leave on someplace, you leave your kids in charge of your house, folks that have kids? Ever do that? Do you ever just go, hey, do whatever, toss them the keys? No, you're like, oh, and here's the rules, and here's the list, and there's the cameras that will enforce the rules on my list. Right? Mm-hmm. Mark 16, 1 through 3. When the Sabbath was over, picking up in the story kind of where we left off. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, just a few ladies, right? They've been changed by Jesus, so they just follow, right? They purchased sweet-smelling spices so that they might go and anoint him. He's dead. His body's beaten. And all these ladies want to do is just go love on it, take care of it, you know. Very early, which some translations say why it was still dark, and it still didn't look good, right? They didn't know what we know. We're all like, it's Easter. We know what's going to happen. No big deal. But imagine it was you. Imagine the love of your life gone. Brutally gone. That's where they're at. Just got to remember that. We're looking at it for this end of history. Put yourself in that end of history for a second. Very early in the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they were saying to one another, who will roll back the stone before us from the entrance of the tomb? As great as God already had that solved. Right? If you don't know about it, Miley says, go read it for yourself. Right, Miley? Thank you. The point is, on this side of history, it's no big that he deal that he rose. We get it. But they're devastated. Okay? Mark 16, 4 through 6. Looking up. Say looking up. I'm going to pause right there. Here's a good little note, right? Take this as Pastor Sean, part of Ethos Counseling. You ready? To look up is the best direction to look, especially when all hope seems lost. To look up is the best direction to look, especially when all hope seems lost. Look up. We get looking down a lot. We get looking in the mirror a lot. We get looking to the left a lot. We get looking to the right a lot. We get looking at Jake. We get looking at... But sometimes you got to look up. And if things have gotten down and dark, it is time to look up. Look up. So looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away. Oh, that's awesome. Though it was extremely large. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right wearing a white robe. And they were amazed and bewildered. You think? I'd be like, what's going on? Can you put yourself there? Like, I don't know who's going to roll this stone away and Jesus is dead. And hey, man, the stone's rolled away. There's a dude sitting in there and it ain't Jesus. And they're like, don't be bewildered and amazed. Like, okay. You know, you're lucky it's not Peter. You have ears on, you know. And he said to them, do not be amazed, which would be helpful. Okay. You know, you are looking for Jesus, Jesus the Nazarene, Jesus who was crucified. You're looking for Jesus? Jesus is risen. He's not here. Huh? Jesus is risen. He's not here. You looking for Jesus? He's not here. Oh, okay. Okay. See, here's the place where they laid him. Like, uh-huh. I see it, you know. Here's my paraphrase. You ready? Ladies, you're in the right place, but the time now is for the right perspective. You're in the right place. You're in the right place, but it's time now for the right perspective. You haven't seen what you need to see, and you're going to see that playing over and over again. Mark 16:7. He says, go tell his disciples. The disciples and Peter. He points them out. You know why? Peter's a mess. Peter's a mess. He is worsened by this whole death, beating, crucifixion of Jesus has got him beaten on one level. But he's also beaten because he denied him three times. And he swore he never would. He'd go to the grave fighting for him. So Peter's a mess. So he says, go tell the disciples and Peter. Go tell him. Peter. And you know what? Peter the Rock is supposed to be the leader. But he's struggling. Ever been in that? Supposed to be the leader, but you're struggling? Yeah, right, church. Go tell his disciples and Peter. He's going ahead of you to Galilee. We'll do more on Peter later, I think. You'll see him there just as he told you. Jesus told you, man. You should know that, right? Jesus said in his own words, who's prone to forget stuff Jesus tells you all the time? Man, he told me. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, okay. Mark 16:8. They went out and fled from the tomb. They fled. They were hauling. You know, can you picture that? Like, who, what? Do not be amazed and bewildered. He's not here. That's where he was, but he's not. You know, they're out. They're done. Like, what's going on? They fled, for they were seized with trembling and astonishment. And they said nothing about it. Like, we're all tripping. I don't know what they thought. Why did you see that? I don't know. What did you not see? I don't know. We're running. Like, I don't know what we saw. Who was that dude? And, you know, I don't know. They said nothing about it to anyone because they were afraid. Here's a tough one. Ready? Don't look at your neighbor. Try to just like, okay. You ever disobeyed God and maybe you didn't share your Jesus story? Seemed weird because you were afraid to? Ever not share when you know I should say something? I should say something right now. Not judging. I shouldn't go. You shouldn't. I should tell them my story. I should tell them how messed up I was, what Jesus did for me. But what are they going to do? We're here at a party, you know. Say, I'm changing. And that's starting today. Mark 16:9-11. Now Jesus, having risen from death early on the first day of the week, you know what that side note I'm going to say is? That's why we have church, it's Christian church on Sundays. That's why. It got changed. Yeah, we could do it on the Sabbath, I guess. He broke the, you know, made everything fulfilled. But that's the main reason we meet on a Sunday. You know, it's not because it's the weekend. Though it's very, very convenient. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene. I want to share a little bit why I love this lady. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene. You know Mary, one who had cast out 7 demons. Here's the great thing about Jesus. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Anybody? It's not how you start. Woo, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And when you really encounter Jesus, you'll begin to make changes in your life. Like, that's going to be tough, but I got to do that, right? It happens. She went and reported it. Mary Magdalene, she went. She went and reported it, right? Another reason, she's special to him, right? She didn't care how crazy it sounded. She believed in it, right? She reported it to those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. It's tough to share anything when someone's mourning and weeping, right? It is. When they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe it. They did not believe it. Didn't believe it. Even though Jesus mentioned he was going to do it, he said, I'm going to do this, right? He mentioned it. And even though, now think about this, even though someone they knew, they experienced life together, someone they knew and trusted, they still didn't believe it. They still needed their own encounter. They still needed their own encounter, right? Still needed their, anyone else that stubborn? Anyone else saw the same thing? Yeah, I heard the gospel before. I'll believe it when I see it. Right? Yeah, that's why you go to church here. You know, that's why I sent you to the dog track. I'm just saying. So here's the question. Have you ever had your own encounter with him? I'm doing a dramatic pause. Okay. John's gospel gives some details for people that like details. You know, you get some headline gospel. John's more of a, I know I'm real good, we're close, so I take good notes, you know. That's my interpretation. Anyways, you know. John 20:11-18. Here's John's version of that story. You ready? But Mary was standing outside the tomb sobbing, and so she wept, and she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw 2 angels sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body had lain. Jesus had been laying there, and there's 2 angels. And they said to her, woman, why are you crying? Now, instantly, I almost put in Bob Marley there, but I refrained this morning. I was going to put in, no woman, no cry. I could see the angels. I'm just telling you how I read it sometimes. The angels were doing a little Marley right there. No woman, no cry. You know, I guess, can you see it? I don't know. Maybe just keep moving. Now you see it. Yeah, keep moving. And they said, woman, why are you crying? And she told them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Sounds a little accusatory, a little salty. I don't know, that's how I read it. After saying this, she turned around and saw Jesus. Okay. Saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Ever have grief blind you to something that you should see? Maybe Jesus had a greatly altered body from his beating and crucifixion. I don't know. Also, I want to propose this to you, though. Maybe God is proving he can show up however he wants to. And maybe we don't get trapped into a particular image of Jesus. Like, I love The Chosen. That guy kills it as Jesus. Jim Caviezel kills it as Jesus. They do a great job. But we can't have, you know, these images of Jesus. Let him come in however he looks. What if he, you know, he wants to show up with a nice fade? He can, you know, I'm just saying, it's Jesus. Just maybe he's a bald guy, you don't know. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Supposing that he was the gardener. Supposing he was the gardener. Now, I want to propose to you, I feel like she loves Jesus. She watched him go through everything. She's pent up where they killed my Lord. Now they took his body, and you are here. And he's not. I'm just telling you, I see her a little like Mary Magdalene, a little bit like Pastor Sharon Williams right now. I'm just telling you, I see that little fist, the Latina fist getting balled up as she's talking, you know. And this is why. So supposing that he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you are the one who has carried away my Lord from here, tell me where you put him, and I'm going to go take him away. I had enough. I've had about all I'm going to stand, and I'm not going to stand no more. Gardener, if you took him, I don't care where you put him, I'm going to go get him back. You better talk quick. Why? Because I'm feeling it. My stress is coming out." Just saying, that's how I read it. You know. "Tell me where you put him, and I'll take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." Well, I don't know if he said that. Like, settle down. He said, "Mary." You know what's really great about that? He said her name. What's really cool about that, you recognize when someone you love says your name. You recognize. I don't need a picture of Dr. Heidi when she's on the phone. I know it's her by when she says my name. I know when she calls me, I don't have to go, "Who is this? Send me proof." I don't need that. Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned to him and said, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And then, I love this, Jesus said, do not hold on to me. Now, I don't know if she like, woo. I can see Pastor Jody in this moment, saying with gang tackle, "Jesus," and she's death gripping. I don't know, you know, like a double sanguine power hug. I don't know. I don't think that's why he did. I don't think that's what he's referring to. Basically, I think he's saying, "I stopped by real quick to see you before I even saw my father. I can't stay because I got more to do, but I stopped to see you. I can't stay. Just one hug?" Yeah, just one hug right now. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." Oh, that's why. "But I made a point to see you." I know, it makes me want to cry, but I got to move on. It's not hormones, it's me. You know? "But go to my brothers. Go to my brothers. Go to my brothers and tell them." Go to my brothers and tell them. So I am the church. That's my job. Go to your brothers and tell them. Tell them I'm ascended to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came reporting to the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had said these things to her. Ever have a hard time believing even someone you trust? Some of us have been broken in life. We have fracture lines, right? Ever have something that happened in your life make it really hard for you to believe or trust other people? Even if they've proven it a lot? Anybody? Yeah, I see those eyebrows. I see you. Keep going, Pastor. Unfortunately, she did her job, but sometimes you just have to have your own experience. Any stubborn folks out there needed your own experience? No matter how many people that you love to trust, yeah, Jesus, Jesus, got it, Jesus. Jesus, cop, tell me about Jesus, I get it. No, you don't. I needed to get it, you know. Mark 16:12. We'll jump back to Mark for a second. After that, he appeared in a different form. Say, interesting. He appeared in a different form to two of them. Okay. As they're walking along the way. Cool thing about God, he can do whatever he wants. You know, it's one of the things I like about him, you know. They returned and they told others, but they did not believe them either. Stubborn people. Anybody know any? Anybody? Anybody know any stubborn people? No. We have to admit we've been skeptic too, right? Before our encounter, we have been. So let's play a little game. Ready to play a little game? Doing good with time, we'll play a little game. This is the game called Have You Ever Been game. Have you ever been? Have you ever been a skeptic of yourself, a skeptic of God or organized religion? Have you ever? Yeah. Have you ever been hurt by other Christians or churches or people? Okay, great. Have you ever been overwhelmingly grieved and confused? All right, how about this one? Have you ever been changed by the encounter with Jesus? Right. Say whoop. Whoop. Okay. Mark's, the kids will be like, well, they whooping, they get my candy. No, kids, we're fine. We're not getting into your stuff. Okay. Mark 16:14. Later, Jesus appeared to the disciples themselves as they were reclining at the table. Oh, I had to put this version in. You know why? Because he called them to account. What's that mean? The Lord got on to him for a bit for not believing. I told you. Mary told you. I sent those two dudes. Like, come on. Come on. For not believing some of the people that you should have trusted. I sent you trusted people. You couldn't trust Mary by now? What, you couldn't believe Mary? In the mouth of two or three witnesses, I just found these two dudes. Like, I can better send them back. Nothing. He called them to account for their unbelief and hardness of heart. If you're glad that he forgives people from that stuff, say amen. Because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen from death. Now we're going to jump ahead in John. We're going to fast forward, you know, the detailed notes of John. Let's pick up in John 20:19. So when it was evening that same day, on the first day of the week, though the disciples were meeting behind barred doors for fear of the Jews, though they were meeting behind barred doors, say barred doors. Yeah. Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace to you. Now, here's a thought. Barred doors of any kind, you can lock them if you want, but if he wants in, he's coming. If he wants in, he's coming. Also, this made perfect sense to me that he would say peace because I bet they're freaked out. That's got to be your first word. If you're like barred doors, you're worried like the Jews are coming, they're going to come kill us. And everyone settle down. Be quiet. All of a sudden, boom, he's in the room like, ah! Be like, peace. Peace, yeah, peace. I got to sit down a minute, you know. Jesus said, peace, I need to sit. Peace to you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples saw the Lord and they were filled with great joy. Can you imagine that moment? Picture someone that you love that's gone. Go ahead, let it feel you for a minute. Someone that you love is gone. What if they pop right in right now? How would you feel? Yeah, right. That's where they're at, baby. That's where they're at. Sometimes it takes a while to see stuff. Even God's stuff that's right in front of you. Sometimes it takes a while. How happy were you when some of you realized who he really was for the first time? I cried. Shocking, right? But I don't remember crying before that moment. As a kid, I wasn't a crybaby. I wasn't. No, go ahead. Break my hand. You ain't nothing for me. I don't care what you do. But I found Jesus. You know, just bawling. And Jesus said to them again, peace to you. Like, hey, settle down, everyone. They're getting like, yeah, Jesus. I'd be like, whoa, it's better than a quinceañera. Come on. They're, but Jesus. I could see him going, whoa, he's back. I'd be screaming. You know, Pastor Larry, and I'd be doing, whoa, UFC screams, you know. Jesus had to say, peace. Settle down, you two. I see you're super stoked. Peace, y'all. The Father sent me. I also send you. Hey, I came back to tell you, I'm sending you now. I did my job. Your job's coming. I'm sending you. And he said this, and then he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. You know what's really awesome? Is this is the Holy Spirit way before Pentecost and the gifts and all that. Maybe it's time for us to ask him again, without hoopla and fanfare, to breathe on us again. Maybe you just need a fresh breath from God in your life. And the only one who can give you that is him. No one else can give you that. Well, he's in love. Right. It says, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they're forgiven because of their faith. If you retain their sins, they're retained. John 20. This poor guy. John 20, 20 through, 24 through 25. Say, but Thomas. Mark, don't say it like that, but Thomas. It's not his nickname. It's but Thomas. Come on. Yeah, but Thomas. He's like, but Thomas. No. Thomas gets too harsh a rap. You know why? Because we all have a little Thomas in us. We all have a little Thomas. God knows anyways. He's never fooled by us. And most likely, God's been showing you his hands and his feet and his side for a long time. God's been pulled up to some of us that have been stubborn for a long time since, remember, I was here. Yeah, you can't explain that. I did that. I know something else got the credit, but I did that. Thomas, one of the 12, was called Didymus, a twin. If you know a twin, point at him. They love it. There you go. Just one right there. Spider one. Thomas, one of the 12, the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples kept telling him, we've seen the Lord. Tom's about to blow a mini gasket right here. Right? I could see him a lot like, oh, okay. Okay. Maybe it's my interpretation, Jen. This is how I see it. How I don't see him in King's English here at all. But he said to them, unless I see his hands and the marks and the nails and put my finger into his hand, I'm never going to believe. Come on, don't be so spiritual. Ever had a toad like that? No matter what God did in your life, I'm not going to believe. Unless this happens, yeah. We get snow in the summer. That's what I'll believe. I'll just say it. Unless there's a solar eclipse. Yeah. But you know, pre-Jesus, that was exactly my attitude towards most things. I believe nobody had anything. He loves Thomas's too. He doesn't leave Thomas's behind because they had attitude. If you're thankful for that, raise your hand. Yeah. He doesn't. John 20, 26 through 29. 8 days later, his disciples were again inside the house, and Thomas was with them. He's about to find out. Jesus came through the doors that had been barred and stood among them. You know what he shouted? Peace to you. Like, man, quit popping in like that. Can you knock, Lord? Is that funny to you? Is it? You not like Denise that way? You like popping in, just messing with you? I ain't doing that. Peace. Okay, but just knock, you know? Send me a text. Let me know you're on your way. I don't know. Just saying. He stood among and said, peace to you. Startled every time. And then he said to Thomas, reach here with your finger. See my hands? Put your hand in place of my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, that's when you believe. But here's the part I want to focus on. Because he's talking about us. Jesus in Scripture. In that moment, he's talking about us. Rewind. Jesus said, because you have seen me, you believe. Blessed, happy, spiritually secure, and favored by God. Blessed, happy, spiritually secure, and favored by God are they who did not see me and yet believe in me. Man, right? You're like, whoa. Okay. That's most of us in the room by the applause. I get it. John 20, 30-31. There are also many other signs attesting miracles. There are also many other signs and attesting miracles that Jesus performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that They've been written down so that why? That you might believe. Why do we have this? So that you might believe. Believe with deep abiding trust that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed, the Son of God. And that by believing and trusting and relying on Him, you may have His right. Believing and trusting in life, have life in His name. Today we're going to wrap up the series and the purpose of what we're talking about today, why the Father sent Jesus. Because sometimes you can get lost in the purpose. Or we got a good show, and you're watching TV like, what? They better recap because I don't remember last week. Well, maybe that's just because I'm over 50. But sometimes, like, I don't remember, you know. So let's go back to the most famous verse of all and say why it's the most famous verse of all. John 3:16. Why did He do all this? Like, why? For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world. He so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that He gave even His only one and begotten Son. Say, so that whoever, no matter your past, whoever, no matter your sin, blew my mind because like I kept trying to go like, Lord, but I haven't finished telling you everything. Like you don't know the stuff I did. I don't know. I felt like I had to list it out categorically before you go, is this one? No, about this, you're forgiven this? Oh, you can't. Remember that time I was blasphemous? Sister Mary Walter remembers. I'm sure you do. No matter your sin, no matter your past, say whoever. Whoever believes and trusts in Him as Savior shall not perish, but have eternal life. He said all that. And I want the most important takeaway this morning to be is know that you're loved. That's the reason. If you got to boil it all down to like the whole purpose, why this gospel message is, know that you're loved. Know that you're loved. He said, I know you're going to screw up. I've been working with man a long time. And they are trapped forever in their nonsense. And they're going to eternal judgment. And I love you so much, I'm going to give you the best I got. And He's going to pay for everything. Right. And some of us went, okay, thank you. So just today, I want to give this a small opportunity. I know Princess Jasmine has got so many fun things planned. And I'm going to release you to do your day. I think it's the greatest importance on earth today to ask this question. Where are you with Jesus? Where are you with Jesus? I don't care if you go to hit this church, any other church, every church. I'm not talking about church. I'm asking, have I been born again? Like really, have I been born again? Because what you believe when it comes to Jesus matters. What you believe when it comes to Jesus matters. Because I'm going to quote Him in a second. You can look it up. Miley wants you to read it in John 14. But it's there. It says this, that He alone is the way. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one can come to the Father except through Me. That's what got Him killed. Love killed Him. He took everything we had. He said, I'm going to forgive you and love you, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to prosper you. Why? Because I'm in love with you, and I don't know any other way to show you. I've sent many people to tell you. And then you've experienced it in your own life and you kind of forgot. And I want you to fall in love again this morning. That's all. I want you to fall in love again this morning. So what you believe matters. I don't know if that impacts your eternity, but it impacted mine. So if you would like prayer specifically for that, I'm going to go over to the prayer wall as soon as I close up in prayer. And if you want to pray privately with me, I will pray privately with you. But maybe this morning you're also someone's like, I just need fresh breath. I need Him to breathe on me. I feel a little dead myself. I'm going to welcome you all to stand. I'm going to pray that over all of us. And that'll release you to spend time together. Father, I pray every ear and every heart would hear this morning You, not Sean Capozzi and my nonsense. But Lord, You know the Thomases, You know the Marys, and You know we're here. And we appreciate your Holy Spirit. Breathe on us fresh. We need that. Refreshing us, the things that we're supposed to. Give us the courage to share our stories. Give us the courage to share your story. Give us the courage to believe and trust in you. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for everyone that's here. I pray you bless their families. Father, the people that they know, they come in contact with today, that no weapon formed against them by the enemy be allowed to prosper, Lord. You'd send them out, Lord God, in a victory this morning, Lord, and they would value their time with one another in you today. In Jesus' name, amen.